It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Week 6 edition of the Fantasy Football Feeding Frenzy. I am your host, Gary Davenport, and luckily for all you folks out there listening, the co-hosts are here tonight, so you won't have to listen to me blather on for an hour. David Olivares, in one word, please sum up the current state of the New York Giants.
I'm trying to pick a good word here, Gary. I'm going to say finished. Is that word finished? I like finished for them.
Well, it certainly seems to fit. Ryan Black, who's going to be the last team in the NFL to win a game this year?
Well,
the New York Giants.
Oh, wow, that would be so – that's just brutal. I was telling the guys before the show went live, I'm a Browns fan, so I'm at the rock bottom. I've punched through rock bottom into Browns fan. And I feel bad for the New York Giants after what's happened to them in 2000. You know, it's not like Cleveland or San Francisco or Chicago, where you knew going in your team was a dumpster fire, so you could prepare yourself for said dumpster fire. The Giants went in thinking, hey, NFC East champions, trip to the Super Bowl. Now they're looking at the number one overall pick in next year's draft and whether or not it's time to replace Eli. Not for long. Just remember, the NFL stands for not for long. Ryan, it was a brutal week for injuries. Why don't you break down some of the big ones for us?
Yeah, so the biggest one, obviously, was Odell Beckham Jr., fractured fibula. He's out for the season. So, I mean, I'm sure everybody saw that. It was really sucked to see with such a superstar like him. But I guess we'll continue on with the New York Giants. Bear with me because we got a bunch here. Brandon Marshall, fractured ankle, out for the season. He actually tweeted out himself. It was a bit surprising, but was hoping he was week to week. But, yeah, not the case. Dwayne Harris, who was the first to go down that game, fractured foot, out for the season. Not really a fantasy thing unless you're relying on Eli, but still something. And then Sterling Shepard, he did not practice today. He's got a sprained ankle. He's day-to-day. But I did not see anything that said he had shed the walking boot. So something to keep an eye on. Either way, stay away from all Giants. Devontae Parker has a sprained ankle, and he left the stadium in crutches. But he's still considered day-to-day. I just keep an eye on it. Not really sure. I haven't heard too much out of Dolphins practice, but he's pretty iffy for week 6. Charles Clay, my tight end darling.
Oh, killer.
Torn meniscus. So 2 to 6 weeks. I wrote about it in my Tuesday morning article, and so I'm calling it at least a month. But he had his knee scoped and whatnot. But he's out for a while. Feel free to drop him if you want. But he was a top 5 tight end for the year. Bilal Powell didn't practice today. Calf strain. Does not look like he's going to play this week. But Matt Forte actually looks like he might have a chance. So all the Elijah McGuire fans out there might need to pump the brakes just a tad. Travis
no,
Kelce
Matt.
Did not. Huh?
I said, no, Matt, sit down, 4K, you old over-the-hill. You need to move aside and let Elijah have his moment in the sun.
Is that not the truth, though? It seems like any time Matt Forte gets hurt, someone else shines. So it's like, I thought it was finally Elijah's turn, but Matt Forte may be bringing us down yet again.
That's why we can't. But, please continue. This is why we can't have nice things.
I know, but there's so many injuries. Travis Kelce, concussion. He didn't practice today, and he's still in the protocol, so you need to have a backup plan on that end, which really sucks because it's hard to find a stud tight end like that. Jordy Nelson returned to practice. He looks like he's good to go. The hamstring looks healthy there. Terrence West, strained calf. I don't think he's going to play. I think he's more considered week to week, and it's going to be Buck Allen, Alec Collins. And they did sign our old buddy Bobby Rainey, our little waiver wire wonder from, what was that, a year or two ago? Good gosh. But so it looks like Terrence West will be out. But other than that, Matthew Stafford looks healthy. Another one that popped up, which might be interesting, is Matt Bryant. The kicker for the Atlanta Falcons is out with a back injury today. So keep an eye on that if he's your kicker. I know he just had a bye week, but sometimes we don't want to worry about kickers. And, hey, no more bye weeks, so just plug a good kicker in. But take a look if you got Matt Bryant. Might end up being out this week.
All right, David, with all these guys dropping like flies, who should we look to on the waiver wire?
Well, Doug Coots at Fantasy Sharks always puts out a good article each week, and I kind of take his stuff here. You mentioned the tight ends. You know, you've got this kind of phantom out of the blue hip injury for Gronk, Kelce with a concussion, and Charles Clay gone. So some guys that you might look to replace them potentially. I want to start out with one guy who's just – I don't know where this came from. Ed Dixon, you remember him? $175 against the Lions last week. I mean, that just came out of nowhere. And you got to kind of think – with Ed, you know, some cautious optimism. The Panthers wanted to come out and run sort of this, let's take the pressure off Cam. Let's also run with three towering targets downfield. That's why they went and got Funchess in the draft a couple years ago. Kelvin Benjamin's obviously a monster of a human. And they had Greg Olsen, who was great at tight end for him. So maybe there's some value there with Ed Dixon. Stash him. You know, he's probably sitting on the wire right now, or just got snapped up this morning, I should say. George Kittle is an interesting one for me. I'm in San Francisco. Again, cautious optimism. But with the state of tight end this year, unless you've got Gronk or Kelce, you know, you're kind of – I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of playing the matchups these days and just kind of winging it at tight end. Kittle's interesting. He did have eight targets last week, brought in 83 yards or seven catches for 83 yards and a touchdown last week. And he's got plenty of snaps to go, you know, to his name. He's got 251 snaps with San Francisco. So he's definitely the lead dog in that sort of tight end platoon they have going on over there. And then, of course, Austin Seferian Jenkins, the Jets, you know, it's one of those situations where I know it's kind of a crutch argument, but someone's got to catch it, right? And when you have Jermaine Kearse coming in and being like the top dog out there, you know, it kind of leads towards the tight end. You have weak quarterback play. So Seferian Jenkins, we know he's a great athlete, and the yardage was awful, six catches for 29 yards. So, you know, that's kind of just dink and dunk. I'm panicking and just tossing it to you. But he did get a score last week, so someone to keep an eye on if you're hurting at tight end. But we did have some interesting running backs kind of come into the fold for waivers this week. Jerick McKinnon likely got scooped up last week in the panic after Dalvin Cook went down, but he looked great on Monday night. I mean, he out-snapped and outperformed Latavius Murray tenfold. Latavius isn't going to go anywhere, but Jerick's definitely the back to own in that Minnesota backfield for the foreseeable future. Again, not for long, NFL, right? But Elijah McGuire, we mentioned him a few minutes ago. Matt Forte is kind of this husk, this ghost of a football player. He was great in his heyday, but I really hope he just stays out of the way and give this guy McGuire a shot. You might as well. I mean, the Jets are just kind of playing to play, just to field the team each week. So I could see McGuire getting some run. He's probably available if he didn't just get snapped up today. So those are some guys that jump out to me. Matt Breda, I think is how you pronounce it, in San Francisco. We have this nonsense going on with Carlos Hyde. It kind of sounds like coach speak to me, trying to motivate the guy. But, you know, to Shanahan's credit, it's, Hyde wasn't playing well when he started getting benched. So I think he had something like 19 yards rushing or something terrible like that, maybe 18 yards. So something to keep an eye on for these bye weeks with injuries abound. Someone you should probably stash and maybe not start, but just kind of hang on to for a while. But that's what I got on the waiver wire for this week.
The only thing I would caution with Jerick McKinnon, and I know everybody, it's Jerick week after watching him torch the Bears on Monday night. This is, I think, the third time in 4 years that we've seen this movie. Only, you know, in 2000, would have been 2014, 2016, it was Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata, the slowest man alive. So Adrian Peterson gets hurt. Asiata comes in, runs like Matt Asiata. They take him out, give the ball to McKinnon a little bit. McKinnon pops off a long one. Yay! Everybody loves Jerick McKinnon. And we never see that stat line out of the guy the rest of the year. So I'm not saying he's not worth a pickup. I'm just saying we've seen this movie before. And the Bears can't defend the road. The Bears are hot garbage and then some right now at inside linebacker. They're like the Giants receivers at inside line. They're trying out guys in the parking lot.
That's just messed up.
It's, well, before all I know, the Giants were today. I'm surprised they could find Eli. He wasn't trying to jump off a bridge. I'm not going out there. Brian, give me a week six sleeper, a guy that's a little under the radar. I mean, folks, between bye weeks and injuries, they need, if they can plug a gem into their lineup, it's very helpful.
Yeah, there were so many injuries. I forgot to mention that Robert Kelly didn't practice today either, but he was going to be my sleeper. So Samaje Perine, step on up, because you face the poorest San Francisco 49er defense. And a report just came out. Jake Gruden has already stated if Perine starts, he is going to get the rock. So I think whoever starts, so this is my sleeper, is whichever running back starts. And no, that does not include Chris Thompson, because he's not the starter. He is the scat back. But
right, and he's really, especially if you play in a PPR, Thompson's the guy. I think Thompson in PPR is like 8 in fantasy points through 5 weeks. So, yeah, he's not
ridiculous.
In the conversation.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny. I write about him the 1 week he does horrible, and it's like, okay, that's fair. but I like them all. But I think if you're going to dig deep, I mean – I think Samaje is probably on the waiver wire, most likely. Robert Kelly is probably owned, or at least I hope he is, in most of your leagues. But it looks like he's going to sit. But give me Perine all day against that San Francisco defense, and I think he can definitely put up high-end RB2 numbers.
Oh, I like the call, especially if the Redskins – not really hard to imagine the Redskins being staked to a lead – and maybe trying to grind it out a little bit in the second half, and that's between the tackles work, which, like you said, will be Perine. Although, Stein's 49ers have been getting blown out. They're just losing every week. I think they've lost their last 4 games by 11 points combined, which is
a nice and agonizing
way to get to 0-5.
I know. So that's one way. I mean, they could shock the Redskins. Who knows? Don't pick them in Survivor. Don't do it.
David, who you got as a sleeper in week 6?
Well, I like Martavis Bryant a lot this week. He's not really a sleeper as like an under-the-radar kind of name per se, but you look at the matchup in Arrowhead versus Kansas City. You know, they're a lot better against the run, Kansas City is, than they are against the pass. They're bottom 5, most generous, you know, to wide receivers. And they're top 3 stingiest against opposing running backs. Now, I'm not saying bench Le'Veon Bell ever, and nor will I ever say such a word for about 10 more years maybe, but hopefully. But I like the matchup here. I'm not I'm not ready to go all in on like a Ben Roethlisberger recommendation as a sleeper, but you know, they're going to have to score. They're going to have to try to be competitive. The Steelers are a competitive football team. They've got a lot of talent. And I like Martavis to maybe pop one over the top. All it takes is one big play, and he just made his whole day just like that. So a lot of people are kind of shying away from that passing attack this week, unless, of course, you're an Antonio Brown owner. But Martavis makes a lot of sense, and he's dirt cheap on DFS. I think he's like 4,700 on DraftKings. So that's a guy who I'm going to be having in a lot of my lineups this week.
Oh, I haven't even lived. My DFS last week was I don't even want to talk about it. I'll throw Jacoby. A lot of the guys that we mentioned as waiver wire pickups honestly could be okay spot starts this week if that's the situation you're in. You just need to pull someone off the waiver like Elijah McGuire and slam him in the lineup and hope for the best. Could be, especially if Forte doesn't play. I expect he will be a good play because the Patriots can't stop anybody. I'll throw Jacoby Brissett out there too, quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Two out of the last 3 weeks, he's put up decent fantasy numbers. He realizes now that he should just drop back and throw to T.Y. Hilton and that Hilton will go up and get half of them. So it's working. I mean, it's not exactly the most consistent offense, but they're getting some chunk plays. Brissett can run the ball a little bit. He's got 3 rushing scores for the year. And the Titans give up all the fantasy. The Titans are still, I think, 3rd. In fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, and that's if you count the Jay Cutler game. So if you take that dog, 92 passing yards. Oh, tell me again why Matt Moore isn't the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. But anyway, Brissett should be an okay spot start this week. Matt Moore.
Yeah, it seems
I'm
like everywhere this week. I swear, I've looked at it everywhere, and it seems like every team I'm facing is like a Brissett Hilton stack, and it scares the living crap out of me.
Well, what's to be frightened of against the Titans that haven't been able to stop a wide receiver all year long, not on the Miami Dolphins, because you don't so much stop the Dolphins as they never start. So there's a difference.
Exactly. That's very true.
I was looking at some of their offensive statistics earlier today. Oh my God. If you can get the Atlanta defense in team defense leagues, yeah, you want to start them this week. That game's already over and it hadn't started yet. All right, week kicks off. Philadelphia Eagles, Carolina Panthers. You know, who would have thought that we'd be asking this question 5 weeks into the season? But, David, Carson Wentz or Cam Newton?
Well, I like them both, honestly. But I can't bet against Cam, you know, with as generous as Philly's been to opposing wide receivers this year. Cam's red hot right now, and they're really clicking on that offense. So Cam gets the nod for me, but I don't think you can go wrong in this matchup here.
Ryan, not really a super high-end wideout in this game, but a lot of guys that have some degree of fantasy relevance. So why don't you go ahead and rank the wide receivers in this one, and while you're at it, you can throw the tight ends in with them too. I'll make it a little harder.
Jeez, that's
what Zach Ertz has been awesome.
Yeah, Zach Ertz is the man. Dang it. I'm actually still going to stick with Kelvin Benjamin, number one. I like his odds this week. Another injury I missed. Jeez, Devin Funchess. He did return to practice this week. So I'm going to put Zach Ertz 2. I'll put Funchess 3, actually. And then I'm going to say Jeffrey has a bounce back week. I've written about it. I think I really don't like the matchup for Philly. So that's why I'm sticking to the side of the receivers on the Carolina side. But so Alshon Jeffrey 4, and then Aguilar if you're desperate. I mean, that's just fine. But and then I'll throw in Ed Dixon. I mean, it is what it is. It's just a dart throw tight end. I mean, I don't even know what to call that back end of that group. But if you need to play him, you need to play him.
There's going to be a lot of people mad at Ed Dixon after this leak, like he's supposed to go out and get 5 170. There's been 2 tight ends in NFL history. Caught 175 receiving yards on 5 or fewer catches. and now Ed Dixon is one of them, and people are going to be mad that he don't do it again. At least it should be a good Thursday night game. I mean, it sets up as a good game. It still might be played at a level because Thursday night football sucks, but it beats Jaguars, Titans, and Colorado.
That game was on fire.
Yes, it was. That was a very Thursday night game. And just like that, we go from good matchups to not good matchups. Chicago Bears at the Baltimore Ravens, who might be the worst 3-2 team I've ever seen in my life. Brian, which Ravens running back are you going to go with, Buck Allen or Alex Collins?
Buck Allen, not really close. He got all the goal line carries. He gets the targets in the passing game. It's with Terrence West out. I like Alex Collins. I do. But it's got to be Buck Allen this week. I think he's a solid PPR RB2 this week.
Mr. Olivares, Mike Wallace, complete milk carton act first 3 weeks of the season. I think he had 3 catches total for like 20-something yards. Catches 5 for around 60, I think, and a score 2 weeks ago. 3 for a 130-plus against the Oakland Raiders. It was a very Mike Wallace stat line. Are you buying or selling his resurgence? Can he keep it up and, you know, return to maybe that wide receiver 3 level that some of us sort of expected at the beginning of the year? Or is this just a flash in the pan sort of deal?
Well, it's kind of weird because you know how Joe Flacco goes. You know, have one game where he just has great stats, and then the next game he'll just do nothing. He'll get you -0.1 or something ridiculous like that. So I'm buying-ish, if that's a word. I'm not going out and targeting him in trades or anything like that. He's a great DFS dart throw, that's for sure. We know what kind of player he can be, like catch a 50-yard bomb right off the rip, right after kickoff. But, you know, he's a receiver to keep on your radar if you need to throw in to balance out a deal or something like that. He's trailing only Jeremy Maclin. He's got 22 targets for the Ravens to Macklin's 28. So he's getting looks, that's for sure. And we know he's a fantastic athlete out there. So yeah, I mean, as a throw-in on a deal maybe, but I'm not going after this guy.
My beloved Cleveland Browns, about to go 0-6. At the reeling Houston Texans, who had the part of their defense ripped out and shown to them while it was still beating last Sunday night with the loss of J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless, both to season-ending injuries in the span of the first 5 minutes of the game. Good stuff. As an IDP guy, it made me very, very sad to see J.J. Watt get hurt again. Mm-hmm. While they have that bad news, David, there's good news on the other side of the football. All of a sudden, the Houston Texans look like an offensive football team. From a fantasy standpoint, is Deshaun Watson already a top 5 quarterback?
Yeah, right now he absolutely is playing like one. Garbage time, of course, counts, and we saw that exhibited Sunday night. I can safely say right now the only other quarterbacks I would rather own would be Brady, Rodgers, Drew Brees. Beyond that, give me Watson. You know, he's playing lights out. He's getting it done with his legs. You know, he doesn't really – it was nice to see him get Will Fuller back so he has someone else to target. But, I mean, he is just peppering Hopkins with targets. It's great for Hopkins owners. You got to love that. He's just basically turned him into his NFL Mike Williams, which, hey, if it works, it works. Either way, they have reason to be excited in Houston and absolutely top 5 at the moment here. And I don't see any reason to think, you know, that won't be the case for the rest of the year and going forward. So buying all day. If you drafted him, congratulations. I own him in a 32-team IDP dynasty, and I'm very proud of that fact because he's my future right now. And I just hope he, knock on wood, stays healthy.
Oh, man, how big could Will Fuller wind up being for, like, best ball people? They got him super late for next to nothing. And, you know, it only counts if it's a great game. And he's going out there, Wolves last week, like 257 and 2 scores. I'll take that stat line every week. I love how Watson's playing. The fact that the Browns could have had him at number 12 and decided to pass is so very Cleveland.
Hey, Will Fuller is on pace for 32 touchdowns this year. I mean, that, you can pick that.
Best ball. That's it. Best ball.
Hey, I just Watson at least two or three times a game is just rearing back and letting it rip to Fuller, and the kid can run. So I love how much Watson is just bombing away vertically. It's just fun to watch. Yeah, just run around for a second and chuck it 45 yards. Yes. Hey, you get intercepted, it's like a punt. Why not? What do you got to lose except the game? Trying to find a positive, Ryan, with the Cleveland Browns. Rookie tight end, my boy Njoku, looked pretty good last week, showed some signs of life with Kevin Hogan at quarterback. The Browns are going to start Hogan again on Sunday because they're stupid. But could that mean good things for the youngster from Miami going forward?
Yeah, I don't know why everybody hates Kessler so much, but I looked at his stats last year. They were actually pretty decent. But anyway, I'm going to sell him. I like him a lot. I like him in Dynasty, but I'm looking at his target share. Week two, four, two, three. He had three targets. He caught all three of those targets for 48 yards and one touchdown. I mean, I get it. He's got three touchdowns in 5 weeks, and that's where you make your hay in tight end, but I still think he's just a touchdown-dependent dart throw, one of those tight ends. I like him. I love him. I think that was a good draft pick by the Browns, Gary, so I'm not trashing your Browns. But, nah, I don't like him for week six.
Well, sorry to hear that because I had to pick him up in a couple leagues where my tight ends are all either hurt on a bye or, in the case of Tyler Eifert, hurt and on a bye. In that kind of year.
Hey, maybe he'll probably catch right now.
Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings should be a good one. Vikings with a chance to gain a little ground back in the – NFC North, Packers with a chance to send a message to the rest of the division that this is, we got this, guys. I'm going to assume with this, Ryan, that Stephon Diggs plays on Sunday. He sat out some of the Monday night loss. Looked like some sort of muscle. I mean, I don't think it was anything serious. I almost wondered at first if it was cramps, but he was out of the game for quite a while because they were working on it quite a bit. But assuming Stephon Diggs plays, him or Davante Adams?
I'm going to go definitely Davante Adams here. I'm a big Stephon Diggs truther, but what we saw Sunday night cannot be unseen. Adams looked amazing after that deadly hit. We thought he was done for the season. The next thing you know, he comes back and rips off two TDs. But that whole Case Keenum, and then you have Sam Bradford, who looks like he can he probably couldn't reach my great-grandmother in a ground race right now. But I would want my faith in a receiver I know is going to have a higher touchdown possibility coming from Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to put my faith in Case Keenum. I like Diggs, but I think Davante Adams is a low-end wide receiver one, and Diggs is a low-end wide receiver two right now.
David, a battle of running backs who may not even start for their respective teams, although the more they look with this Crescent, I wrote these before the Monday night game, so you know what, I'm not even going to go with Aaron Jones versus Latavius Murray, because it would be Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones versus Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, I'm taking McKinnon there. I think and PPR thrown in there as well. First of all, you know, they say Montgomery might suit up. I don't see them doing that. I don't think that they need to do that in this game. I think they can win it without him. And Aaron Jones was great last week. But something people are overlooking is the Cowboys are seventh most generous against opposing running backs, you know, and the Vikings are third stingiest. So it's a tougher matchup this week. I don't think, you know, you can really get exposed too much in this offense. But I like McKinnon a lot. Green Bay is favored in this game. McKinnon, Murray's a good passing down back too, but McKinnon showed on Monday night, provided they continue with what was successful Monday night, that he's excellent out of the backfield. And we've seen it in years past before, as you mentioned earlier. So, yeah, I like McKinnon a lot, especially in a PPR, catching out of the backfield. I could see him having five or six receptions in this game easily, trying to keep up with Green Bay and that offense that shouldn't be too stoppable these days. And even that's without Jordy Nelson potentially too, although I think he practiced today. But, yeah, so give me McKinnon for sure.
I've seen quite a bit of stuff. You had people ready to just hand the starting job in Green Bay to Aaron Jones after winning, which he had a great game. Don't get me wrong, but like you said, that there's a pretty good-sized asterisk next to it. The Cowboys have made just about every running back they've faced this year look good. So, yeah, take it with it. Now, if he puts that kind of day up Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings, who's defensively are no joke, then I will officially be a believer. But for now, I'm with you. Color me a little skeptical. Detroit Lions, New Orleans Saints in the super-duper dome. Adrian Peterson has been shipped off to the retirement home, otherwise known as Arizona. It's just Ingram and Kamara now for the Saints in the backfield. So we'll go with the lead backs in this game. David, Amir Abdullah or Mark Ingram?
I like Mark Ingram here, but I was really on him as a buy before the AP trade. He's been dominating the snap counts and carries, and really he's a lot more involved in the passing game than a lot of people realize. Kamara, who is their quote-unquote passing down back, has 20 receptions on the year. Ingram got 15, you know, so he's much more heavily involved in the first and second down, also third down. So he's their best all-around back. There's a reason they shipped off AP. That's probably not it, but there's plenty of reasons they probably shipped off AP. I like Ingram's usage, and, you know, you got to love the Saints down in New Orleans in the Dome in their home turf where their offense historically performs their best. So I like how Abdullah's been coming on of late, but I'm leaning Ingram in this one.
As David mentioned, the Saints usually play well at home offensively, but they haven't played well defensively in about, what, 6-7 years. So, Ryan, Matt Stafford or Drew Brees?
Yeah, I'm with David on this one, too. I'm going to start my Saints at home. Drew Brees, after a bye week at home historically, is always going to light it up. And in week 3, I remember I betted against him. And then he, sure enough, went out and threw 3 touchdowns for 220 yards and had a great week and no interceptions. And it's just like, oh, man, I'm never doubting this guy again. So, no, it's with Stafford. I know he's going to play. He's a little nicked up. Eric Ebron drops everything and anything you throw to him. So, no, it is Drew Brees for me.
Oh, I watched the first part of that Detroit Carolina game. I thought Eric Ebron is just a soul murderer. I can't imagine being a Lions fan and just feeling your heart just sink every time the ball's headed toward him because you know what's going to happen.
He's going to drop it, and then they'll
right.
And then Fells gets 2 touchdowns. It's like, okay, that makes sense.
I agree with you guys. I like Matt. Don't get me wrong. I like Stafford this week, but I don't think you can really ever bet against Drew Brees at home. This one should be tight. Brian, Miami Dolphins, the defending NFC champion, Atlanta Falcons, I'm giggling a little bit. Are there any Dolphins, any at all, on the offense, Ajay, Parker, Landry, Cutler, who you would start this week?
Yeah, Cutler, I never want to talk about again. I've written about him numerous weeks with all these cake matchups, and I said, you know what, I'm done. It is what it is. But, no, any Dolphin I'm going to start, I think you got to stick to your guns with Ajayi. I like that he's getting his opportunity share at 81%, and that's ranked 5th among running backs. Snap share is ranked 7th among running backs at 79%. I understand he's been letting fantasy owners down, but I see him as a buy low. So if you can, you should, in my personal opinion. But, yeah, I think you got to stick to your guns with Ajayi. That's the only Dolphin I'm starting. And I don't think Devontae Parker is even going to play. So,
David, explain this to me. I commented on it a little bit earlier, but why is Matt Moore not the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins right now?
Well, I think he will be after this week. You know, when you go up to Atlanta and you're going to get shellacked like you should. I think Atlanta's an 11-point favorite, 11 points. Now, I know the odds makers have been a little bit off this past couple of weeks, but I think they got this one pretty hammered down. I think after this, they're going to have no choice but to turn to Matt Moore and realize they flushed $10 million down the toilet.
It's not that Cutler has struggled a little, or the offense has been kind of out of sync. It's awful. Army throws the ball better than Miami does right now. I don't understand. I mean, they had the one really bad game, and you're like, well, you know, everyone has a bad game now and again. Cutler hadn't played, didn't get much to camp. It'll get better. No, it's gotten worse. They can't move the ball at all. How they won last week, I know how they won. They played the Jay-Z Titans with a Matt Castle, Brandon Whedon double dip at quarterback. But 11 points? I'll give you the 11. I'm taking Atlanta. There's no way I would lay money on the Miami Dolphins right now at plus 11. And I don't know if I would if it was plus 21. Here's this game is a sign of the apocalypse because it's a battle for first place in the AFC East between the New England Patriots and the Jets, who have won 3 in a row. Because I give up at this point. Obviously, none of us know anything about football because the Jets were supposed to be tanking, so they can't even do that right. But Will Powell looks like he's going to be out this week. Looks like Powell's going to be out this week. So, David, let's assume Matt Forte sits. Let's look at the glass half full of it by benching Forte, because that's where we're at. Elijah McGuire or James White?
Well, it didn't matter which running back started or played the majority of the snaps for the Jets. I was going White with this one all the way. He's a massive part of this offense. He's out-snapping Gillis Lee by like 60 snaps right now. He's got more targets than any Patriot not named Chris Hogan. I mean, he's got 35 targets on the year. So he's a monstrous part of this offense at the moment. Now, you know New England, how they can just switch things up on you, have magic injuries happen overnight, all kinds of crazy stuff, right? So just, you know, ride it while it's hot, and when it breaks down, just have a backup plan. But I love White in every game going forward until something goes wrong.
You got to drop it while it's hot. Ryan, have we reached the point in the season where if you called Brandon Cooks the number one receiver for the Patriots, that would be factually incorrect? Is Chris Hogan, quote-unquote, the guy?
Yep. Chris Hogan is, quote-unquote, the guy. I mean, you're talking about from weeks 3 through 5, 100% of the snap share. So every offensive play the Patriots have ran, he's out there. And he has, let me see here, so from week 2, 3 red zone targets, week 3, 2 red zone targets, week 4, 3 red zone targets, and week 5 he only had 1. But guess what? He has 5 touchdowns in 4 weeks. I don't see how he's not boomer bust. He's not, actually last week he had 8 receptions, so that was the most he had. Before that was just 5, but it's pretty clear Chris Hogan's the guy, and you probably snagged him up pretty late. So lucky you, and I feel sorry for the Brandon Cooks owner.
I threw quite a bit. We had a couple leagues where we'd already drafted, but we had preseason free agency with Fab, and I think I threw 711 of my $1,000 because Hogan's nickname is 7-Eleven because he's always open. I threw $711 at him, and that's money well spent. I mean, I'm starting him every week. He's been. I'd feel better if I pulled Danny Amendola off the waiver wire than I would if I spent what it cost Brandon Cook's owners to get him.
No kidding. It's just crazy. Who would have thought we could not have drawn this up? Only the Patriots.
Yeah. But there were some fantasy pundits in the offseason who may have mentioned about Brandon Cooks, you know, there's a lot of mouths to feed in New England, and they're not going to force it to a guy just because they paid a lot of money for him. So I just, his ADP got too rich for my blood, personally. So I don't think I have him on any team. Fogan on a few, Amendola on a dynasty where my receivers are horrible and he's been a godsend. Ryan.
He's healthy.
San Francisco 49ers searching for their first win in the nation's capital against the Washington Redskins coming off the bye. Explain to me, Mr. Black, what the hell happened with Carlos Hyde last week?
Yeah, there's conflicting reports. I really don't think it is an injury. I think he might be in the doghouse, and for what, I don't know. But I think this is a get-right game for him. I still think Hyde's number one there. I don't think it's Matt Breida or David, you alluded to earlier, however the heck we pronounce that name. But I think this is still Hyde. And I think you need to hold tight. Don't panic. Do not panic on Hyde. And he doesn't seem to be hurt. He's practicing this week. And just play him. It'll be just fine.
The hot hand. I'm looking at Hyde's stat line last week, and I'm like, what is – you're playing the Colts. And then I see Breda's numbers start jumping. I'm like, what? Turned it on. I'm like, what? David, the Redskins have had an extra week to work on the what's been a pretty spotty connection between Kirk Cousins and Terrell Pryor over the first month of the season. Do they get that together, or would Pierre Garçon be the better fantasy play?
I think with what we know, you know, not what we hope for, but what we actually know, Garcon's the better play here. You know, he did pretty good last week. He ended up snagging 8 receptions for 94 yards versus Indy. And, you know, he hasn't scored yet, but he's great in PPR so far, 28 receptions on the year. Pryor hasn't had a good game yet. He's had a good reception, and that was for a touchdown, and that's it. So I'm going to miss Pryor's first good game before I feel confident starting him. He's not a must-start. He never was. And so let me see it first, coming off the bye. You know, decent matchup here. I don't see why not, but I'm going Garcon until I know otherwise from Pryor.
Can't say that I disagree. Plus, no Josh Norman for the Redskins this week. He'll be out probably another 3 weeks or month with cracked ribs and lung damage, which just sounds delightful. Get back to you, David. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Arizona Cardinals. If Carson Palmer had thrown a couple more touchdown passes, his fantasy numbers would look very nice. His yardage number has been great. I just think he only has 5 or 6 touchdown passes in 5 games. On the road again, but not a 1 o'clock start, which is a good thing for Arizona. Carson Palmer or Jameis Winston?
You know, both defenses have been pretty bad versus quarterback. But I'd rather start the guy not facing Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu. So Palmer for me, especially now that John Brown's back. I'm really excited. I was really excited about him all summer. It's good to see him back. You know, hopefully he'll get going here. But, yeah, I definitely go Palmer in this one.
Ryan, I'm not going to ask the Ellington versus Martin question I had because that was before the acquisition of one Adrian Peterson. I'll just get your opinion on that. What do you make of Adrian Peterson in the desert now? I mean, does he – what kind of value does he have moving forward, if any?
He's a desperation flex at best. I actually still think Ellington's the way to go. You know, you alluded to it earlier. Carson Palmer is – throwing at I think he's on a rate of 700 and something passes. I don't know. It's something ridiculous. But Adrian Peterson really doesn't catch the ball well. I think he's going to handle 10, maybe 13 carries a game. He might be able to break off a long run. I mean, we haven't really been able to see a chance. But
I hate to say it, I think Ellington's still the back to own in PPR because you have 8 targets in week 3, 14 in week 4, 10 in week 5. It's all good and well, but, I mean, David Johnson's going to come back soon, and he's really just a stopgap, maybe an RB3 type.
Oh, Ellington's been money in PPR. I don't care if it's 8 catches for 35 yards. You're in a PPR, 8 catches for 35 yards, 11.5 points. I'll take that on my flex all day, especially given what some of my rosters look like. Los Angeles Raiders, here's a battle of teams that we didn't expect to be sitting at this record 5 weeks into the season. The 3-2 Los Angeles Rams, the 3-2 Jacksonville Jaguars. Ryan, battle of the big dogs at running back. Maybe the 2 highest scoring running backs in fantasy football so far this year. Todd Gurley or Leonard Fournette?
You know, I hate to say that I actually picked Fournette as a bust coming in this year, but I'll admit to my mistakes. I'm going Fournette in this game. I think the Rams were actually exploited last week. So, you know, Gurley didn't do too well. He finally came off of, you know, Mount Everest. And, you know, I think Leonard Fournette, he has all the trust in the world of Coughlin and the whole Jaguars coaching staff. I mean, you look at it, and he scored a touchdown in every game, 2 last week. He's been an RB2 every week. Actually, his worst performance was RB14, and that was against Tennessee. It's just ridiculous. I'm going to stick with the hot hand and Fournette. Gurley's still a good play, but give me Fournette above him.
Oh, he looked so good on that 90-yard run. That boy was moving. Has a big back moving that fast. Very impressive. Hey. Plus, you know, being a Browns fan, I'm not super fond of the Steelers. So watching them get smoked by the Jaguars in Pittsburgh, yeah, that was unfortunate. David, a lot of folks with wide receiver injuries. A lot of folks maybe looking for a spot starter. Give me a wide receiver from this game that you might actually start with a straight pace.
Nope, I won't do it. No, I'm kidding. If I got a gun to my head, you know, I'm not going to start any of the Rams receivers. Jacksonville's pretty darn good against wide receiver. You know, they gave up a lot of yards to Pittsburgh last week and gave some points there, but they've only allowed 1 touchdown on the year, and that was in week 1 against Houston. They haven't scored or allowed a touchdown to a wide receiver since that time, and I don't know if they're going to do it this week either. Hearns would be the guy that I would start if I had to start a wide receiver out of this game. I can't stress that enough. If I had to start a wide receiver, it would be Hearns. He's got 8 red zone targets for Jacksonville, and so he's got the best chance to score there. So that would be the guy if I had to pick one.
Cool. That desperation league where I've got Amendola at wide receiver in a dynasty, I also have Hearns. You guys are filling out my wide receiver core for this week. I appreciate it so much. You're so sweet. Pittsburgh Steelers, Kansas City, the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. The offensive buzzsaw that is the Kansas City Chiefs, because, of course, we all saw that coming heading into the season. David, I let Ryan pick between Fournette and Gurley, so I got to give this one to you. Kareem Hunt or Le'Veon Bell?
Well, I'm glad that Ryan went with Fournette. Fournette and Hunt are my lead dogs that I'm writing about in my DFS article due out tomorrow morning. I'm going Hunt in this one, no doubt about it. I mean, Hunt's averaging 6.8 yards per touch, and Pittsburgh is allowing 5.1 yards per touch to opposing running backs. I mean, they're the fourth most generous to opposing running backs, and, you know, the Chiefs are third stingiest. I think that this will be a ball game, despite what people think. You know, Ben on the road, heck, Ben at home now. You know, he looks rough out there, but they're going to compete, I think. But I temper expectations for Bell. If you own him, you start him. But Hunt is a lock right now. Spend the budget in DFS. Get Hunt in all your lineups everywhere you can get him.
You heard the man, 5.1 yards a touch allowed. He is breaking out the knowledge. So, and you got that stuff for free, folks. You can't put Brian, as David alluded to, Big Ben didn't look so good last week. 5 interceptions, 2 pick sixes. Are we starting to see the decline of Ben Roethlisberger?
I do think we're starting to see the decline. I just don't think it's the end. His yards per attempt is kind of what's scary. Like against Jacksonville, and that's a great defense, 5.7 yards per attempt. I'm looking at his high this year, 7.3. That's under his normal par, and he only has one QB1 performance. I don't think it's the end of the road, but you need to have an alternative or to start streaming somebody, or hopefully you have a backup. But, yeah, I mean, for him as a QB1, quite possibly, but some in the right matchup, he's okay.
Because we totally thought going into this year that, by week 6, we would see matchups like Jared Goff starting against Jacoby Brissett in fantasy football. We totally called that. We knew.
I know. And Alex.
We just didn't tell you. Oh, Smith's been. And every week I keep telling, because I've benched Alex Smith so many times and I've left him sit there and been like, he's going to remember he's Alex Smith. I don't think he's going to remember he's Alex Smith this year. They done drafted Patrick Mahomes and awakened the rage in Alex, and he is just totally hulking out on the rest of the NFL. And
yep.
I don't know. There's maybe 2 or 3 quarterbacks I'd start over in fantasy right now, which is another sign of the apocalypse. So the end is nigh, folks. You might want to repent. L.A. Chargers got their first win of the year last week. Oakland Raiders have now dropped 3 in a row and are freaking out. Ryan, another cosmic mystery, the Amari Cooper milk carton. And it's not just E.J. Manuel, because he was on the milk carton the week before that. What's going on?
Now, I think everyone on this call, this podcast right now said that Amari Cooper would be a bust, and it's pretty much showing that way, I mean, he had 13 targets in week 1. He had a great week 1. I get that. But after that, his target share was, he had 8 targets in week 4, and he had 2 receptions for 9 yards. It's ridiculous. I think he's the RB, the wide receiver 73 right now. You obviously can't do anything with him. You don't drop him. You don't do anything. But I sure to heck would not start him this week. Crabtree, which we were telling you in the preseason, is where it's at on this team. You need to stick that way, but you need to hold him. And, maybe if somebody wants name value, you can get something out of him. But, no, don't like him this week.
David, beast mode has been more like least mode so far this season. Not a lot for Marshawn Lynch fantasy owners to smile about. Are the Raiders just keeping him fresh, or is Marshawn Lynch stale?
Well, it's really tough to say. He kind of reminds me of like a way cooler Frank Gore, where you can get, he's this ancient running back. He might score. He's going to get his touches, but he's good for about 10 points a game. And I think he just kind of is what he is at this point in the second part of his career on his comeback tour here. If you can sell him, I would sell him. I wouldn't take a bath on him, but, Jalen Richard had 25 snaps last week compared to Lynch's 27. DeAndre Washington's coming back. It's really just a thing. You got to either rock him as your RB3 and just know that he is what he is and expect 10 and nothing more, or get rid of him. But make a decision. Now's the time.
Yeah, I just, and, it might have been unreasonable of us to really expect much of anything from Lynch after a year away. And given his age and career workload and all that good stuff, but man, I expected a little bit more than this, running behind that offensive line in Oakland. And we're far enough into the season that I don't know that I expect to see some massive improvement all of a sudden. I mean, maybe he'll have a big week here or there where he gets a couple short yardage touchdowns. And if you can get a big week like that and get somebody interested in him who's a little desperate for a running back or something, then, yeah, I'd probably sell medium at this point if I could get something of value. The Sunday night game, always a weekly spotlight of the finest the National Football League has to offer. This week features the New York Giants against the Denver Broncos. David, you got to start a Giant. Who's it going to be?
I have to start a Giant. There's no way.
Yep.
I'll just quit fantasy football. Gosh, I don't even know, man. I feel like Gallman, I guess, or is Vereen playing? If Vereen's playing, that's the guy I'd start. But honestly, I haven't even looked at him because I'm not touching it. I mean, I'm out on all Giants. Maybe Evan Engram, you know, because tight ends are just a disaster and a mess this year. But that's it, man. I mean, stick a fork in them. They're done.
My problem with Engram is that the Broncos know as well as we do that he's the only semi-competent pass catcher they have except for Shane Vereen. And Aqib Talib's a big corner, so they could body him up on Engram and just kind of take him out of the game. And the Giants have nothing. If I could, nothing. And a bunch of guys whose names I don't even know. I feel bad. I honestly feel bad for Eli Manning because he's got to be looking around like, God, why do you hate? What did I do? Ryan, the Denver Broncos, on the other hand, are not suffering from a shortage of wide receiver talent. They have a very talented 1-2 punch. It can be a little hard to figure out from week to week. Is this an Emmanuel Sanders week or a Demaryius Thomas?
I think this is finally the Demaryius Thomas week. Called a hunch, but he was out-targeting. Well, week four was a massacre on all ends against Denver, but he was out-targeting Sanders before the bye week. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to use this here, but the Giants have given up 6 touchdowns in 5 games to tight ends. A.J. Derby, I actually think he is going to be the highest-scoring fantasy receiver for the Denver Broncos this week, but if I had to pick one of those receivers, I'm going Thomas.
Wow, A.J. Derby. See, now I'm going to be looking at his cost on FanDuel this week. Like,
I
might be
say,
a nice
man,
guy
I
for
like that. I like that A.J. Derby call a lot. I mean, he's like 2,700 on DraftKings, and you look at what the Giants have given up to tight ends. I mean, it's enticing. If you blow your budget on Fournette and Hunt at 8,000 and 8,200 respectively, you're going to need to scrimp somewhere. And A.J. Derby's not a bad dart throw, man. I mean, you're hoping for a score there. He splits that time with Virgil Green. Virgil Green's definitely out snapping him at the moment, but I think he's run more routes and he's got more targets. So I like that call a lot.
Yeah.
Great tournament pick. When you're picking a guy for a tournament, you need that. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was saying he was right before the bye week. He was, I think, 4 for 75 and a touchdown against Oakland. So, I don't know.
Wow. I'm going to keep that one under my hat because that would be a great tournament pick. Just a great one. You need – for tournaments, you need that one left field guy. And essentially that's all tournaments are, is which left field guy hits. And the people that picked him – and mixed in with the right combination of dependable and semi-dependable fantasy options. And then threw up screwball in there. That's the people that walk away with, how did you win $1 million? And they don't even say, ball face luck. Last game of the week, Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans. Could be a thriller if it winds up being Jacoby Brissett versus the immortal Matt Castle. Brian, what is up with DeMarco Murray? Is he just still hurt? Is it a function of Tennessee's overall offensive struggles? All of the above?
No. I actually like DeMarco a little bit this week. I think that, I mean, you got to think, everybody thought when Hunter Henry had the breakout game a couple weeks back, they thought DeMarco was done, and then he came back. I mean, I know it was one big run. I think it was 85 yards, but he's still the guy there, and it is pretty clear. The snap share, it leans in his favor pretty heavily. So I'm not bailing. I like the matchup. I think he's a solid. You didn't draft. You drafted him as an RB one, so sure you're pissed off, but he's a solid RB two. I think he's also another good buy low target.
There you go. Finally, David, is your team with the worst luck ever to go along with that giant that you had to start? You need a wide receiver from this game, not named T.Y. Hilton.
So I'm not starting any Titans wide receivers at the moment, just with the quarterback position, unless of course Mariota miraculously plays in this game. But you know, they're saying he's game time decision, which sounds like doubtful to me. So I'm not banking on that. I guess it'd be Moncrief if I had to do one. You know, Tennessee's been very generous to wide receivers, second most in snaps for the Colts and third most in targets. So. I would go Moncrief here, but don't hold me to it.
There you go, folks. That is week 6 in a nutshell and our show for this evening. Gentlemen, I would like to thank you very kindly for joining me.
Thanks, Gary. Always a pleasure. David?
Always a pleasure. Glad we could get the three of us together on this one this week.
It's just the best way to do it. It's a fine trio of teen fantasy minds. And as we wrap
That's
up,
right.
I just want to say, as I prepare to potentially have my soul crushed by a Cleveland team again, go Tribe.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.